Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord, I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You may be seated. In the gospel reading today, Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And he's telling you two things in this reading. The first is that your life in Christ is to be lived in love toward your neighbor. And Jesus does this by the rich man showing you what not to do. The rich man lived his life with no care for his neighbor and completely the opposite of the epistle reading, which says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So the rich man didn't love his neighbor, Lazarus. He was content with feasting in his home while Lazarus lay at his door, starving and licking the dogs, and the dogs licking his sores. Now, something of note in this reading is that Lazarus was laid at his door. Jesus doesn't talk about someone distant for the rich man, someone far off, or place a burden on him with some societal injustice or whatever the term is now. No, this man, Lazarus, was near the rich man, and he was in need. Rather than living according to the fifth commandment to help his neighbor in his physical need, the rich man didn't care. He didn't help him. He didn't love him whom he could see and thus did not love God whom he can't see. The rich man hated God. Now, God is teaching you in that to love your neighbor as yourself. He's doing this not in an abstract way, but with real people. When God calls you to love your neighbor, he's calling you to love real people. You know who they are. You can see their faces. You wave to them when they go by. Perhaps you know their names. The collect of the day is your prayers. You think about all of this. We prayed a few minutes ago. O God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing, grant us your grace to keep your commandments, that we may please you in both will and deed. So that's what God teaches you about your life in this world toward your neighbor, and it's a fruit of your faith. Loving your neighbor as yourself can only flow from a true living faith in Christ that God has given. Simply telling the rich man to love his neighbor would only go so far. Now, sure, he might outwardly have done more to help Lazarus, either out of compulsion, guilt, shame, or maybe he just would have cared for him or had some type of pity in some earthly fashion. But truly loving him, performing this good work of taking care of his neighbor, can only proceed from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin, Romans 14 says. And Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. This then gets to the heart of the matter, and really the eternally serious thing in this reading today. The rich man had a lot, but he lacked faith. He didn't listen, he didn't trust God's word, and it led to his eternal condemnation. Now, that's a very harsh warning that God teaches all of you this morning as you listen to this reading. It's a timely warning, too, for all to hear today because it's a very common error that is prevalent in our world, especially among younger generations like my own. Now, there are many people who want to help others and serve them, and for that, we're thankful. Now, another discussion needs to happen about what is truly good and right in terms of helping people and what love is and isn't. Because as we know, there is a great deal today that goes by love that is far from loving. And in fact, a mockery of real godly biblical love. Some things that go by the name of love are a cover-up for evil, and they harm people, even unto eternal condemnation and death. In Psalm 16, God says, the highway of the upright turns aside from evil. Whoever guards his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And again in Psalm 31, God says, the Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Now, getting to the issue at hand in this gospel reading, there was this man in need. and the desire to help others is good, at least in a worldly civil sense. Many of my millennial generation value this idea of seeing people in need and helping them however possible. Now, I should caveat, I'm right on the cusp of the millennial generation, so sometimes I claim that generation, sometimes I don't. It depends on what's being said about that generation. Somebody posted something on Facebook the other day that my generation was born, we were young enough to remember analog technology, and now in digital, we're comfortable in both worlds. I think the phrase, walking gods among us, might have been used, I'm just saying. But whatever happens, though, this becomes a substitute for the Christian faith, this idea that we can just help people and that becomes our religion. So rather than hearing the word of God, that helping the neighbor becomes the source and comfort in one's life, it becomes what we trust in. And I've personally had people tell me this with something like, Pastor, I love God by volunteering and sacrificing my time to help people. I don't need to sit and listen or read what God says in the Bible. My faith is personal. My faith is in the here and now with people in this world who needs help. Now, some of the most dangerous lies of the devil are not blatant lies, but ones which contain elements of truth. That's how the devil operates, because he's a liar. Statements and sentiments like this about loving the neighbor have some truth in them. I mean, look at the epistle reading today. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's absolutely true. That's what God teaches. But it's not at the expense of or to be the source of what redeems you. In the Old Testament reading, Moses recorded about Abram something very important. And he, Abram, believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him, Abram, as righteousness. So the only righteousness that avails or counts before God is the righteousness of faith. The reason why this is the case is because faith looks outside of ourselves. It receives, lays hold of Jesus and his obedience and his righteousness for you. You have peace with God through faith. So as much as someone may love his neighbor and do great and wonderful things in this world, without faith in Christ, he will end up in hell. Salvation by works doesn't always look like the Pharisees. It looks awful a lot like nice people doing nice things for one another. So what? Well, both situations and both ditches are wrong. The rich man didn't love his neighbor, Lazarus. That's wrong, and really was a fruit of unbelief. On the flip side of that, though, are those who will do things and show love, although remember to caveat what that means, for the neighbor and yet have no righteousness. Both of those situations and lives are sinful. Both are a warning to you. Listen then to what was said to the rich man in the gospel reading. And he, the rich man, said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. It was too late for the rich man. Now he wanted his brothers warned. Abraham, Father Abraham, then gave him some fatherly advice and wisdom here. The brothers have something. They have the word of God. They have everything they need. So listen to it. So what does this word say to you this day? Well, love your neighbor. There's no wiggling around this. God commands you to love your neighbor. He also teaches you what love, real love, is and what this love for your neighbor will look like in the various stations in your life, in the church, in your family, and in the world. This is where God teaches you as a Christian. You listen and you learn from the Ten Commandments. You see what God teaches in the epistle about your conduct in this life. You look to God to define what is love and what is this love looks like in your life. The Father himself said about Jesus, This is my beloved Son, listen to him. So look at your life and examine it closely, according to the Ten Commandments. Hear Moses and the prophets. Listen to the word of God and take it to heart. Look hard at your life and examine it closely. Ask yourself questions like, is there anything in my life that I am living in a way like the rich man? Go through the Ten Commandments and compare your life to them. See who you are as a father, a husband, a brother, a son, a daughter, a friend, whatever the case may be. Ask yourself, am I living a life that knows I'm heading toward death, or am I just living my life my own way, on my own terms? Or put it in the statement of Abraham, I have God's word. I have Moses and the prophets. Am I hearing them? Or am I finding every excuse not to hear them, put it on the back burner, or not conform my life to it? It's always a telling thing and a marker of this when you stop and start thinking about what God says to you. Because when you're honest with yourself and you listen to what God's word really says, you realize what you are treasuring in this life and what you're putting all your time and effort into, or even what you're fearing, you see that you do need to repent. Just look at your past week. Look at your past month. Count the number of times you sat down and read the scriptures, prayed about the scriptures, studied the scriptures. But can you even begin to count the number of hours you've devoted to things like sporting events, television shows, or even your work? And when it comes to define your life, then you're in danger of being like the rich man. So too, when you have God's word and yet you want to be arrogant, prideful, and stubborn enough to remain in sin, or think that you know better than God and what he teaches you, then yes, repent. Like man, you have Moses and the prophets. Listen to them. Repent. Your old sinful man wants to be the one in control. He not only wants to come up with his own ideas about how your life should be lived, but wants to be the one defining the terms, running the show, defining the narrative on any number of things under attack today. And rather than simply just throwing up your hands and saying, well, you live your life and I will live mine, as a Christian, listen to Moses and the prophets. Heed that fatherly wisdom from Abraham. Listen to the word of God. Hear this word, love this word, live out this word in your life. And confess the Christian faith to your family and friends, always being prepared to give a reason for the hope and confidence you have in Christ, no matter the cost, even if your relationships suffer for it. Always confess the truth. Because this is the culture God cultivates and uses you in your family, in your friends, in your workplaces, amongst all of those things, to bring about real change, to bring about faith and confession. And you know what this is, what you're doing in this life? There's a big theological term for it. Love. It's out of love for each other and the love that you give to those around you who have been placed at your gate. See what God teaches and where you have sinned. And repent lest you perish and end up in the same fate as the rich man. And when you get up each morning, drown that old Adam that still hangs around your neck. Tell him to be silent. And let God's word speak in your life to teach you to love your neighbor and what this love is, which is real love, to look like in your life each and every day. And especially don't find your confidence in yourself and in this fruit, but find your confidence and comfort in God's love for you in Christ. And you see, this then is the real comfort today for you, dear saints of God, as you sit here and as you listen to Jesus. He's the one who has loved his Father perfectly, completely, even to the point of taking your sin upon himself and dying for you. And this means your Father, your heavenly Father, loves you. Christ's love is laying down his life and taking it up again so that you would have a place at the side of Abraham, and that you would not be in Hades in the torment of hell with the rich man where you'd rightly deserve because of your sin. Instead, your Lord goes in your place, suffering God's wrath and even into the grave. So your sin is forgiven and you are covered with his righteous life, his perfect obedience, his atoning death, and his resurrection. And you are baptized and you have eternal life. You are a son of God and you have the boldness and the invitation to call God your Father. So take this to heart, dear children of God. The Lord looks at you this very day and he says, you are righteous in my sight. And with this declaration, you know where you will be, that you will be where Lazarus went and is even now. He had Moses and the prophets, and so do you. God has spoken to you. God has fixed your eyes on Jesus, your Savior. And your life is hidden in Jesus, and now you walk through this world as one who knows you have a future glory to come and looks at your neighbor with a love that flows from the love of Jesus for you. You go through this life seeing your neighbor as one for whom Christ has died for, just as he died for you. Your heart belongs to Christ, and this heart is a new heart that overflows with mercy toward your neighbor. It's a heart that treasures God's word as the words of life and lamp to your feet and a light for your path. Your prayer each day is for God's protection and care, even as you with all boldness call him your dear Father, for in Christ you are his dear children. So with all of that, behold your Lord. Behold the new life you have in him. Be steadfast, be immovable in this faith God has given to you by his grace alone. There's nothing in this world more precious to you than Christ. And even if heaven itself were void and bare, even if it were empty, it would be enough just to be with Jesus. Sorrow cannot break your heart because your trust is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. Your body and soul have been given to you by your Lord, and he has redeemed you by his blood. Your whole being belongs to Jesus and lives in faith toward him and in love toward your neighbor, for that is who God has recreated you to be in those baptismal waters. You are a Christian. Trusting his word and letting it speak, you are not swayed by any false doctrine that profanes the name of Christ. Satan has no power over you because he has been defeated. In patience and endurance, you bear your crosses and you follow where Jesus leads. So fix your eyes on Jesus, for you have a new life and a life that lives knowing and living with a gaze toward the horizon where you see your grave, yes, but you see your grave standing open and empty. As the Lord stands over it and having lifted you out of your grave, your life is lived preparing for death, but you face it with the promise of the resurrection from the dead. You go through this life seeing the things of this world as temporal, and you are stewards of the possessions that you have. When your neighbor is in need, when he has been placed at your gate, you help him as you can, and you point him to that same hope that you have in Christ. And as you think about death, your life is lived in view of your Lord's death and resurrection. You cling to those promises, for you have Moses and the prophets. And you know that because he lives, so shall you, and just as he has risen from the dead, so you too shall rise from your grave and live with him and his saints in the new creation he will create. Whenever that day may come, or if the Lord returns first, you die well, for you die a Christian death, which is a death that has life. That's all your life in Christ and your Christian hope in this life, even amid death. And what a joy it is indeed to pray this. Know the Lord does and will answer your prayer. And so as we will sing in our closing hymn in a few minutes, Lord, let at last thine angels come to Abram's bosom, bear me home, that I may die unfearing, and in its narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until thy reappearing. And then from death awaken me, that these mine eyes with joy may see. O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.